97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox is on vacation. He'll be back next week on the program, but thanks to Carl Middleman for being our executive producer to put this all together. This very first segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory is in De Pere. If you've never been to the store, I encourage you to go there and introduce yourself. Take a look at all the wonderful weaponry that they offer, accessories. RazorbackArmory.com is a great place to start to get their phone number, their address. Heck, you can even make an appointment to go see Jesse, who we're going to talk to in just a moment, about a lot of things concerning the Second Amendment. But go to RazorbackArmory.com. Now, big news this week for Second Amendment supporters. The National Rifle Association's website is welcoming the Supreme Court's decision in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. The court affirmed that the right to bear arms does not stop at a person's front door. In many states, you can legally own a firearm within your home, but once you leave that home, you can't take it with you in many instances unless you have certain permits. Well, this is the most significant Second Amendment ruling in more than a decade. This is another landmark win for constitutional freedom, and the National Rifle Association is words from Wayne LaPierre. He's the executive vice president of the NRA. He says the decision comes at an important time as the Senate considers legislation that undermines Second Amendment freedom. This decision unequivocally validates the position of the NRA and should put lawmakers on notice. No law should be passed that impinges this individual freedom. It also confronts a troubling problem with the Senate legislation, underscoring that these freedoms should not be left to unguided discretion of state and federal officials. Second Amendment freedoms belong to the people, and we are going to talk about an instance that I went through just a week ago while I was in New York at my father-in-law's funeral. He was a forester ranger, and so he was law enforcement, but he also had to have, and most people in New York have to have, a special permit. But we're going to talk about a lot of those things, but that's a good win for Second Amendment supporters. Jesse Rolfes is part ownership of Razorback Armory in De Pere, and you know, it seems like a lot of headlines. As soon as they can use the term AR-15, people lose their minds. So Jesse, I just want to ask you, people that don't really understand want to call it a weapon of war, but Jesse, why is the AR-15 such a popular firearm in this country?
So it's a very popular weapon, I think, A, for the versatility of the platform. Mm-hmm. So it's a semi-automatic rifle. It can be in multi-calibers. It's very simple to use. It's not a very complex weapon, so it's simple to use. For somebody like me, it's usually simple to diagnose if you have a problem, okay, because there's not a lot of moving parts.
Okay, I will interject right there. I had a problem with mine. Yeah. I called you. You said, have you sprayed lubricant down? I hadn't, because I had shot so much I was at the range, because I don't go to the range that often, but when I do go, I want to shoot a lot. Yeah. And that's what your suggestion was? Worked like a charm.
Yeah, yours was just dirty, getting sluggish. You know, and you can, there's some quick fixes like that to keep it running, to keep, you know, keep everything working. And then obviously the real solution is a full tear down, clean kind of field strip, get your gun back to, you know, zero, if you will, working order, and
yeah,
go back.
Yeah, Jesse, though, that's a little bit above my pay grade.
You can do it.
I mean, I've gone to YouTube University to figure out some things, and it does help. But, man, when that spring went flying across my garage, I was like, Jesse!
But I sell those springs.
I bet you do. Jesse is part of the ownership team here at Razorback Armory. The AR stands for Armalite.
So, yes, everyone thinks it's automatic rifle, kill everything, you know, black, murder, death, and everything. It's really Stoner made the rifle, okay? His original drawn up as a submission for a military contract. When Stoner got that and Armalite got it, they really didn't have enough production to do it. So it kind of got kicked over to Colt.
Yep.
And actually, many manufacturers have made this for our military. There's several different variations, if you will, modernization of the weapon. A lot of industry not so long ago tried to call it MSR. These are MSRs, modern sporting rifles. Okay. Get away from AR. And a lot of people in the industry said, no, that's an AR-15. Right. It's going to be an AR-15, and we're calling it an AR-15. But the popularity of it, I think, is from versatility. From versatility on how you can style it, how you can kind of make it ergonomically yours.
Customize it, and, absolutely.
And even set it up to what purpose you're doing. I want something to go target shoot. I'm using it more for hunting. I'm using it more for defensive purposes. And then caliber specific. You know, what caliber am I using? What am I shooting with it? What am I doing with it? And then your whole optics package. And am I using iron sights? Am I using a red dot? Am I using a traditional powered scope? So the versatility of that weapon keeps the popularity and has kept it in the forefront of guns.
And I've heard of farmers in Arkansas and Texas hunting hogs with it because they are a powerful weapon. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of capacity in the magazines, which is great. But let's transition into this the shooting sports, because when I talk about Razorback Armory on your commercials, I'm talking about personal security. I'm talking about hunting, but I'm also talking about the shooting sports. And I don't think a lot of people realize what that is. And you just actually had a chance to visit on your own podcast at RazorbackArmory.com about a guy that has progressed from, okay, I got me an AR, now I want to be proficient at it, and he's actually accelerated his shooting sports career.
Yeah, so and so with Will, he started off basically through high school in that, and basically through high school went to the military, actually joined the Navy, did not get a lot of small arms training in the Navy because that's not something they do.
Sure.
He basically told me you get a day. and then got out of, you know, did two tours, got out. His job, and essentially when he took a promotion, moved him here to St. Louis, and wanted to get into shooting. Like, you know, hadn't had a lot of exposure to it, but mm-hmm. something he was interested in. He actually went to a couple different shops, shopped around, found a place he liked, happy it was me.
Oh, good.
And then, you know, started looking at it, but he looked at it as a discipline that, A, he wanted to be proficient in.
Yes.
And that, and he's graduated or gravitated to what's called IDPA, which is mainly pistol. He has done two gun, which is AR and pistol. And then there's a three gun sport, which is AR, pistol, and shotgun. There's USPSA. I mean, there's a lot of different groups and organizations who have different disciplines of shooting. And there's different levels, if you will. It's like karate, you have different belts, you have different levels of expertise.
You know. I was just going to say, if you love to bowl, you tried it once, now you want to join a league, now you want to be Earl of Pearl, and you want to, you know. So it's like any sport. I guess the people, you know, there's not a lot of shooting sports on ESPN.
Not so much. There are. It's usually these fringe outdoor networks that will cover some of the different matches.
Like the clay shooting, competitive.
Exactly. So you can do it like clay shooting. You'll see some two-gun matches. You can catch some IDPA stuff. It's usually on more of the hunting networks that'll cover it. It doesn't have mainstream exposure. The nice part about it that we kind of talked about is this. If this is something that you are interested in, if you go to a local range, they usually will run either not in a ranked match, but usually we call them like Thursday night matches. You know, one night of the week, they're running IDPA or something there. If you go there and you meet with their range master or their course guy, and you say, hey, I'm thinking about getting into this, they're usually very accepting. Like most people in the gun industry, we want more people to come in, learn how to use firearms responsibly and do that.
100%.
So they'll walk you through, hey, this is the gear you need. You don't need top tier thousands of dollar gear to get started. Mm-hmm. You know, for like IDPA, the basics, you need a firearm. You could get like a Glock 19.
Right.
You need three magazines. You need a magazine pouch. You need a belt, if you will, if you want a gun belt, or you can just use your regular belt because you have to be able to hold it. And you need what's called a cover, which is like a cover garment or a vest. And with that right there, eye and ear protection. And obviously, they're going to run you through some basic stuff before you get in where everybody's shooting.
Is this like city, like dwelling kind of stuff?
There's situations. So they run different situations or scenarios. And the situation and scenario, you see it, you walk it, okay, and then you'll come back. And then each person, let's say you have 10 guys there that night.
Mm-hmm.
Each guy will shoot that scenario, okay? With a sport like football or soccer or hockey, I'm playing you on the other team. I'm going up against somebody else.
Right.
With this, yes, I am shooting for a score which is going to compete with the other shooters, but you're really shooting against yourself.
Of course, you're trying to improve yourself.
Exactly. So you're trying to have your hits be clean. You know, you basically say, don't hit the hostage or whatever, you know, whatever the scenario is.
Sure.
So you want to have the cleanest, most proficient with your hits, but also time. There's a saying that's kind of funny, you can't miss fast enough. You can go really fast and miss a lot, okay?
Yeah.
Or if you took your time and had better hits, you might have completed the stage in, let's say, 30 seconds, but you missed quite a few, or you didn't score as well. Well, you could have taken 50 seconds, scored perfectly. Well, after they total it, you did better. You had a better score.
Yeah.
So it's more about balancing that proficiency and that accuracy and then speed. And usually what they'll tell you is, so when you shoot, just ease into it, speed will come.
Right.
You'll get better, you'll progress faster. Some people that are worried about going into it, and the other thing is too, is, you know, if you go to, me and you go to the shooting range, we both get boots and booths next to each other, we send the targets down, and I'm shooting for a group, you're shooting for a group, we're razzing each other.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of stress there. When you do these, there's an inherent level of stress or anxiety that comes up because you're shooting, because you're moving, because your mind's working that out.
It's interesting that you're saying that because I mean, this sounds like to me like law enforcement training.
Mm-hmm.
But in a league at a range, they do set up a scenario like this.
Yes.
So when you're walking through, you know, don't shoot the lady with the baby, cardboard cutout, you know, shoot the bad guy kind of thing.
Yeah, and they start out pretty, and there's match qualifications in scenario setups, but they start out pretty basic when you're entering it, and they can get pretty elaborate.
Yeah.
And usually that's to your skill level and what you're doing, but the neat part about it is when you go in there, the 10 guys that signed up, they may even be shooting in different classes. So I might be shooting stock pistol class, one guy's shooting like open class, one guy's shooting optics carry class. We're all shooting the same scenario and they're all going for time, but you're getting time and you're pointed in your group.
Okay.
So even though 10 guys are running, there may only be two novices there. Well, if there's only two, hopefully you come out on top.
We're graded on a curve.
Yeah, and it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of camaraderie. A lot of people there that are talking to you usually, and you're going through that with. They want you to do better. They're shooting you some pointers of, hey, you know, hey, if you did this a little bit differently or something,
it's no different than golf.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, people, well, they may want to sabotage your game so they can beat you.
Yeah.
So people can just go to pretty much, you know, any range that offers this kind of scenario.
So, yeah,
is it a league?
It's not, kind of. You don't, if you're really getting serious into it, yes, because you're going to start qualifying and taking registered matches, and you're trying to get your point score up, and there's a software called Practice Score, and you can see like different things. But just to get your toe in the water, if you go to a local range, usually a local indoor range will have a match or a qualification something. And you could go and you can kind of go and watch it, you know. And it's to the range guy, you know, what's going on there, to what they're going to let you do. But a lot of times they'll let you watch. They'll kind of walk you through something. A lot of guys, you know, if you get a good trainer, I knew a guy that, you know, was doing this, he'll take you through some scenarios. You can basically rent his time for practice, or show proficiency,
like
getting better.
Yeah.
But he'll set up some scenarios for you so you can actually get some real-time training instead of just static, shoot at the target, put your gun down.
Sounds like this is a whole lot different than going to a Sunday meet shoot.
Yes.
Have you been to a meet shoot?
Oh, absolutely.
I love meet shoots.
Yeah.
Actually, one like 7 pounds of bacon one time down in Orzo, Missouri,
nice.
Or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, so tell me, how far has your buddy Will gone
his
shooting sport career?
He's an expert marksman.
Is that distance?
No. He's got one more tier till he's at the top.
Wow.
He was in nationals last year. He scored and pointed enough to go back to nationals this year. Really good guy, really good shooter. And what the podcast we talked about last night was, when you get to where he's at now, yes, you are shooting against the other shooters. You're really shooting against yourself.
Right.
You are really focusing on, you know, making the cleanest shots, moving.
Making
as minimal amount of moves as you can cleanly for time.
Right.
You know, and then the whole game starts to revolve around, but it's all in your head too. And you don't want to make a mistake. And if you make a mistake, then you're backing out. How did I make that mistake? How do I get better? How do I not do that again?
Wow.
And he was like, yeah, it's getting kind of ragged right now. But it was real fun in the beginning. Then you evolve to getting more competitive.
It's a job.
And he's competitive with himself because you always want to get better.
Right.
So it's that balance of having fun but also competing. But it's not, you know, like I said, it's not like a sport where we're a soccer team A and B, and I got to score goals. So when we're done, hey,
right.
I scored more goals.
Right.
It's you against yourself, against other people for score.
That is Jesse. He is part ownership of Razorback Armory. We're going to take a break and come back with more about the Second Amendment and about what they offer here at Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews. Mark Cox is on vacation. So Jesse Rolfes, he is part ownership of Razorback Armory in De Pere. They sell high-quality accessories and firearms and safes and just anything you can think of. They do a great job. And in addition to it, it's the knowledge base that I enjoy so much. Anytime we get a chance to talk about anything, I always like to talk to Jesse or text him. You probably were cussing. I should have never given this man my cell phone number, because I want to tell you a situation that happened. My father-in-law passed away a couple of weeks ago. And he was lived in the state of New York, and so we went there for the funeral. And my wife's uncle said, hey, by the way, he owned firearms, and in the state of New York, you have to surrender those firearms within 15 days of the death. Now, had my wife's uncle never said that, my mother-in-law would have got a knock on the door on day 15 or 16 to confiscate those firearms. And it was shocking to me because we live in a constitutional carry state. It's a different world in the Midwest, to be thankful for it. Yeah. But Jesse, I text you right away. Dude, this is the situation. What do I need to do? Everything from how do I package the firearms to bring to the sheriff's department, what documentation, and you were a wealth of knowledge. So you, I'm not going to say you know every law in every state, but
thank God
you knew this one.
Yeah, it's their laws are much, much different than they are here in Missouri. But all firearms in the state of New York have to be registered. They were registered to your father-in-law.
Yeah, and they were all listed on his card.
And so when he passes, like I said, the 15-day rule there is they have to be surrendered to law enforcement.
Yep.
Law enforcement is going to then run those against stolen firearms, unknowns, whatever they have on the list.
Yep.
When they come back clean, which they should, because obviously he were registered to him and they were checked before, then they can go to another. They can go to a dealer there and then be registered to another family member. You, or however, we're going to transfer them to St. Louis.
Are there a lot of states that do it this way? Does Illinois do it this way?
No, I'm not sure on how many states. I know that New York did, because as soon as we started talking, I called somebody that I know in the insurance industry that does some business up there, and he goes, "Oh yeah, you got to surrender your firearms."
Yeah.
And it's not in. When you say surrender firearms, it's not like you're surrendering them, you're never getting them back. Their whole thing is about every firearm there needs to be registered so they know where the guns are, so everything, which kind of, for me, that goes against a lot of what I believe.
Sure.
And I believe that if he legally owned the firearms, which like in the state of Missouri, if you legally own your firearms and you pass away and you put have them in your will, your trust, and they go to your kid, your uncle, your best friend, whoever you left them to, those guns legally transfer over to that person.
Is there an FFL transfer?
Some estates that I work with and other people like to do that because it's clean. Because if anything was ever to happen with that firearm, it's been registered to that person. They've essentially done everything they could do to make sure that that person wasn't a felon. They didn't gift or give a gun or transfer a gun to a felon.
It's the same systems as Razorback does. If I come in and I want to have you consign, you sell a gun for me by consignment, you have to make sure that that gun has
Now
background.
Something like that, we have to do a background check on. But as far as your estate, if you're giving it to, which I look at people, if they're family heirloom guns and it's the children getting the firearms and everything, people ask me all the time, do I have to do a background check? No, you don't.
Of course not.
If it's something that you're going to carry, if it's something that you know, the concealed carry laws and everything, they say, you know, a firearm that's legally possessed. Technically, you do legally possess that because it transferred to you. If you just want to make it clean, upfront, no questions asked, no gray area, you do a transfer on that weapon. If it's dad's old .30-06 and his shotgun, I tell most people, look, in the state of Missouri, you're perfectly fine. Take that with you.
Sure.
You know, if the family wants to, I tell estates to make everything clean, write a receipt, do something, have somebody sign for it. That way, if there's ever a question, you know what the disposition is.
Right. If you want to get a value on them, mm-hmm. if you want to sell them, you yes. guys do that at Razorback. Yeah. How does somebody do that? Because when I had to surrender the firearms at the Sheriff's Department, I had to have zip ties through the, mm-hmm. you know, the chambers and all the clip
they wanted,
hole.
They wanted it basically adamantly safe. No questions asked. Everything was visibly safe, open, unlocked. You know, and that's why I told you with the zip tie. This is a universal way of making the gun a paperweight.
Inoperable. Yeah.
Yes.
Inoperable. Yeah. So when somebody wants to do that, should they call you and set up an appointment?
A lot of people do call us about that, and I appreciate that because of the scope. If you have two or three guns, usually what I'll tell you is you can bring them in. We'll check them, make sure they're safe, everything's good. We'll talk to you about the firearms, what you want to do with them. If it's a larger estate, which we have a lot of, you know, if you're looking at 40 or 50 guns, that's not really feasible to pack in the car and bring
right.
here. Usually I'll schedule an appointment with them and I'll go to you.
Mm.
I mean, it's going to be way more convenient for me to go to you than you try to pack all that up. And then we'll hold a discussion about your firearms, what you want to do with them, if you are looking to sell them, if you are looking to make sure that they're disposed of within your estate, if you're just looking for a little bit of information on them.
Yeah.
And then we tell you what we're doing, and then I can tell you what that cost or what's associated with that process. But it's not really cookie cutter. It's more individual of what we're looking to do.
Every situation is going to be different.
Yeah.
You know, actually, here's a random question, Jess, as we are continuing with Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Would you say that most Americans that support the Second Amendment and own a firearm have one? Or do you think that most people have more than one firearm?
Most people have more than one firearm.
Yeah.
Most people have a lot more than one. I think the average mine. So for what I see in estates and different things, if it's the older generation now that's going into nursing homes, which is this is an eye opener for a lot of people that
sure.
are transitioning and they're going into nursing homes. You cannot have a firearm in a nursing home. I mean, big letters. They will not.
Good news.
So these
know.
People are coming to me. And they're like, you know, I need to get rid of my guns, and it's kind of strange to me. So they're getting rid of their guns. And I usually ask, well, is there sons, daughters, you know, other people in the family? These are, you know, to pass these down
that
to a lot of people,
them, yeah.
they don't want to have anything to do with them.
Right.
They don't want guns. You know, they're not, they didn't get brought up in that gun culture of hunting and shooting and going out and target and stuff. So usually what I tell them is we bring them in. Sometimes we'll do an outright purchase. It's better for them to put them on. They're better recovery dollar-wise
yeah.
as consignment. But yeah, we'll purchase them from them and then resell them. But it's crazy how, you know, that, you know, you've collected these things. But usually in that scenario, it's four to eight guns.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but there are a lot of people that just have something for personal security.
Yes.
You know, home security, whatever you want mm-hmm. to call it. Do you constantly here at Razorback Armory have consignment weapons?
Yeah, and it fluctuates. I mean, I'll get a bunch of them, and then they'll sell. It's an ebb and flow of what's coming in, what's going out.
What's the most rare gun you have ever held in your hands?
You
got something good?
So
what comes to mind? I'm sure there's many, but...
Not too long ago, some 4570 Springfield trapdoors. It was weird because I got two different estates
mm-hmm.
within a month of each other.
Wow.
But pristine.
Really?
Perfect. One of them had been hanging over the fireplace for years. They didn't even know it was a real gun.
Oh, no.
They just thought it was like a
piece of art.
Yeah. That's like a faux thing. And when I looked at it, I was going through it, and I'm like, this is real. I mean, this is a real gun. They're like, oh, really? Because I was thinking, I'm like, no, it's a real gun. Appraised it and actually told them, found a buyer for them. It's in a new collection. It's in a new home for hopefully a long term. And
were they shocked at the value? Can you tell us what that number might have been?
They were shocked at the value. I won't give you the number, but it was good. And they were thinking they had like a $50 as well in the thousands.
Well into the thousands?
Almost two.
I mean, I watched
so that. So that one was a little over two. And then the next one, because that had a bayonet, everything. It had everything with it like it should have. The other one had a rod style one. it wasn't, the patina on that one was perfect and everything was great. The other one was a little bit rougher and it was just under two.
Another thing I want to talk about that your store here, Razorback Armory, does is you do restorations. So if you do find Grandpa's gun and it's been in the attic and it's rusted, there's a chance you can salvage it.
Yeah, so two things, and this is what confuses some people. We have a restoration services and we have preservation services.
Okay.
So some older antique quality, you know, guns that have been around forever in the family, a lot of people are like, I want to get it re-blued, I want to bring it back to perfect. No, you're going to devalue that gun something fierce.
Oh.
Preservation is preserving what's there,
mm-hmm.
keeping that patina, keeping it clean, you know, getting all the grease, grime, atmospheric, you know, all the stuff that's just attached itself to
yep,
that gun
sure,
over the years.
Sure.
Now, some things are beyond, I mean, I get some guns that have literally been sitting out in the garage or the basement and they're orange. I mean, they're rusted. Some of that stuff I can bring back to life. I can get it back to functioning. I'm not a magician. So I can do a lot, but there's some stuff that you literally just can't wave the wand at. But that preservation service works for a lot of guns, and then the restoration works for different guns. But again, that's a per firearm basis when we look at something to say, yeah, this is worth restoring. And I'll tell you, a restoration service on a gun is for you. It's because you
sure.
want to see it because it's grandpa's, you know,
somebody's
gun. I have
my mom's old 79 Firebird. I mean,
yeah.
I still got it.
But it's not going to be, oh, I'm going to put this money in and I'm going to make this gun worth so much more.
Sure.
This is something that you want to see for you and to keep that heirloom in your family the way you want it.
Okay. Well, I really want to say thank you very much for helping me co-host this show.
No problem.
I do want to point out, though, that you have a silencer shop kiosk mm-hmm. that my fingerprints are in that system.
Yes.
And I was talking to your chef.
Dickie.
Yeah.
And
he said, people are going crazy to getting that system going to get their silencer or suppressor.
Yeah.
And you guys do that.
Yeah, so with Silencer Shop, we've been a Silencer Shop partner for almost 6 years, I guess, now. We've always done the digital system. We've always done this. Now with the new electronic e-file, which I was on your show the day e-file was out. We were talking about how it might work. Well, it works. It does work. So we'll get your account set up with Silencer Shop, do the fingerprints, the photograph, do all the background, the heavy lifting to get your account done.
You only have to do that once?
Yes. So
okay.
with the account set up, we do everything once. We make sure that your eForms e-file account is set up right. And then we talk about the product, whatever suppressor you want to do or however many you want to do. And then we'll get you into that. We'll walk you through the process. Our full concierge services, I'm going to do everything I can do to keep you from having to do it. You know, I'm going to need your fingerprints, I'm going to need your signature, and I'm going to need you here at the
time.
And
that kiosk makes it so easy.
Yeah, yeah.
So the suppressor I will be receiving when I get my stamp or whatever you call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so we're waiting on a form, approved Form 4,
yes.
which is you've paid your taxes, you paid your $200 tax stamp. When that is emailed to me now, because we're doing e-file,
right.
I print it off, you're actually going to get an email of the actual Form 4.
I'm waiting for it.
And then when it comes in, we'll deliver that off to you and we're going to go shooting.
The coolest thing that I learned about these, because I've really never even entertained the idea because I thought that was meant for Hollywood or for, you know, whatever, the big heist.
Yeah.
They are interchangeable. If you have a barrel that's threaded, a 9mm suppressor can mm-hmm. go on each one of those firearms, correct? You can spin
yeah,
them
so on. They're somewhat caliber specific.
Yeah, oh,
so,
of course.
But if you have 3 9mm, yes, you can put them on there, and they can interface differently. So a 9mm true pistol, like a Glock or
yep.
a Sig, is different than a 9mm subgun, which is a fixed barrel, but the same can be presenced on both of those.
And by can, you mean?
Suppressor.
Yeah. that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, man, I've appreciated the friendship, but I'll just say this too. My friendship began way back in motorcycle days when you were the custom builder.
Custom bike guy.
That's what you did. Did you ever think that was going to lead to this, for crying out loud?
No.
And here you are.
I don't even know what tomorrow's
going to remember the Orange County Chop? I mean, those shows and everything.
That was it.
Made those $100,000 motorcycles great. A lot of people jumped into it. They were the most uncomfortable things ever to ride. They called them, what do they call them? Bar bikes. Or
yeah,
whatever,
you know, you're
you go 10 miles, you need to stand up.
Yeah, those old rigids and stuff that were, you know, big tire, big motor, rigid frame, flashy paint job, lots of chrome.
Look cool.
Look great.
That's artwork.
Yeah.
But man, to take it to the corner store and back. But you know what? I appreciate the fact that you are arming America. You are doing it safely, whether it's shooting sports, personal protection, hunting. Do you get a lot of hunters in here?
Yeah.
Okay. We do. So you have really everything available, and ammo is in. So if you need ammo, Razorback Armory. Again, start your journey and your friendship with Jesse and Brad and his crew here by going to RazorbackArmory.com. Get the address, get the phone number. Just put it in your contact, because you may be in another state and have a question, and you may not get Jesse's cell phone number, but like I do, because the weird questions come in for me all the time. But definitely start your journey at Razorback Armory by going to RazorbackArmory.com. We have more of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors coming up. We are going to talk about the great outdoors, and we're going floating. Not as far as you think it's going to be. Thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox is on vacation. Our executive producer, Carl Middleman, is at the helm.
Pew, pew!
Producing this entire program. And I do want to thank Jesse at Razorback Armory for being my co-host for part of this show. And we could call this show Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with Jesse, because we got another Jesse we're going to talk to right now about float trips. And the closest float trip to St. Louis is just a few miles away. We welcome operations manager Jessica Cagle from Brookdale Farms and Twin Rivers Canoe Rental. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. How are you, Jess?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How is floating season going so far?
It's great. The weather has been amazing.
It has. And you know what? That brings up a good point. Is the water moving good? Is there plenty of water in the river to, you know, move you down, or are you paddling a lot?
The water is moving a little slow, but I mean, that just makes for a little bit longer of a day and enjoy the sun a little bit longer.
I think the cool thing about it is you're right there in Eureka. So Brookdale Farms is where people will go to start this process. Of course, they can go to brookdalefarmsinc.com to get all the information that we're going to talk about. But you guys offer many water craft. But if somebody wants to bring their own watercraft, because you see Subarus running down the highway with a kayak or whatever, can they bring their own out to your place?
Monday through Friday, we offer transports for other people's vessels,
okay.
But it's $20 per person. And then we need a reservation. We need it to know ahead of time.
What I love about it is you don't have to travel 3 hours away, because the first float I went on many years ago, horrible experience. The weather was terrible. It was the 11 point. I don't know if you've ever floated on the 11 point river.
I have not.
It is rough. And the water was really low. And it was so hot. And it was one of these 2 day floats where you had to camp midway through the float. So you had to bring all your gear. And I saw, some flipping over and losing all their gear and their tents and their coolers. It was horrible. But what I love about what you guys are doing is you're really close to St. Louis. You want to go for an afternoon float or an evening, whatever times you do it. It's just convenient, because if you wake up and go, it's going to be too hot today, you don't go. But maybe tomorrow is going to be better, right?
Right, absolutely.
And
we're flexible. If something happens and it's raining, we can always switch to another day. As long as you give us notice, even with, if something happens with emergency or anything.
Plans change. And that's what's wonderful about not having to go 3 or 4 hours away to do this. Right. But let's talk about, because the Twin Rivers Canoe Rental has, been going on for a few years now, and year over year, you said last time we chatted that businesses, people are discovering you guys.
Yes, they are. And actually, we have a lot of different things on the farm that we do. We do weddings and events, and we do carriage rides, we do corn maze, sunflower maze, and we have people that come and they're like, I had no idea that you do float trips. So we're like, it's always, always something.
And if you're two people that want to go, one person wants to go, or you got a group of 50 you want to go, you guys can pretty much accommodate that. What's really nice is at BrookdaleFarmsInc.com, they have the pricing and all that stuff, and the different... Yeah, and the different vehicles or watercraft, I should say. You have rafts that people can rent, or you have canoes.
Yep, we have 6-man rafts, 8-man rafts. We have inner tubes. The inner tubes are really cool. They are closed on the bottom. They have a little backrest, a little cup holder. So that's always my favorite. you know, and then we have a cooler raft that will hold your cooler, and you can just tie that onto your inner tube and float down the river and enjoy yourself. So have a canoe and kayak. The kayaks are single.
I was going to ask, because the float trip that I went on many years ago, we had coolers, as I mentioned. Yeah. What are some of the rules for people that are going to be floating? No glass, probably, right? What else are the rules?
Absolutely. No glass, no styrofoam. Of course, you want to respect the environment and take your trash with you.
Okay. So, yeah, and you can bring, you know, a meal, have a lunch on a sandbar or something.
Absolutely. We recommend that. You always want to have stuff to drink, water. You want to stay hydrated. People think, oh, we're on the water. No, you need to drink it, too.
Yeah, right. Maybe but, alternate.
You want to for sure have stuff to eat, especially when it's this hot.
I'm telling you, I think more and more people are learning that that float trips are happening so close to St. Louis. You can sleep in your own bed at night, which is awesome. But you have two different lengths of floats that you do. You do the 9-mile, which that's going to be a long afternoon or whatever.
So the 9-mile is for the canoes and the kayaks. The canoes and the kayaks travel faster than the tubes and the rafts. So they go on the 9-mile. It just takes up, like, if you were to get on there and not stop and just go straight through, it'd take about 3-3.5 hours.
Okay.
Of course, you want to stay, you want to stop, and you want to hang out on the gravel bars, enjoy lunch, enjoy swimming. You can make a day of it. We just ask you're back by 7 p.m.
Okay.
Then the inner tubes and the raft, same thing. It's a 4-mile, and then it takes about 3-3.5 hours to float through nonstop.
Well, on the website, it's all spelled out for you. They have Monday through Friday. Here's the times that you can go on a float out at Twin Rivers Canoe Area rental at Brookdale Farms. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and noon. What a wonderful way to spend a weekday. Take a sick day or work remotely if you want to from the canoe or raft. That would be a good idea.
For the raft, it's 9, 10, 11, 12, and 1. And then on the canoes and kayaks is 9, 10, 30, and 12.
Oh, okay. Okay. And the cool thing is you can do your online booking right there. But if you want to call and, you know, maybe you've got special instructions or something like that, you can just call out to Brookdale and they'll accommodate you. You'll either talk to Jess or Danielle or somebody, 636-938-1005. And are you booking up, like, you know, we got 4th of July coming up around the corner. Are things booking up pretty good?
They are. Last weekend was booked solid. And 4th of July weekend is booking up. This weekend is getting pretty full. So we've had people calling about 4th of July also.
That's fantastic. Well, it's so cool because it's so close. And again, you can sleep in your own bed that night after a day in the sun and fun. Now, another thing that I wanted to bring up before we finish the show and finish this call is that I found out through Fire Chief Greg Brown that you are a metal detector person.
Absolutely.
And you found some pretty cool stuff. I bought a metal detector about a year and a half ago. I've used it on my property with no, like, surprise, no discovery of treasure. But then something else happened. You learned about magnet fishing. Now, we have talked about magnet fishing in the recent past on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Magnet fishing is where you take this extremely strong magnet on a rope, and a lot of people go to a bridge, maybe out in a rural county area over a river, and drop that magnet down into the water and see what people have either thrown off over the edge of the bridge, or maybe it fell off or something. That, my friends, is magnet fishing, and they do have kits you can buy on Amazon. I mentioned it once to Greg Brown, and within a couple of days, he had his magnet fishing kit. So you're intrigued, right?
Yeah, Greg introduced me to that. I said, wow, this is cool.
Are you not
anything cool yet, but what a blast.
You know, before I made this phone call to talk to you, I was thinking, gosh, I wonder if we could do that from a canoe.
I would think you probably could.
That's awesome.
We actually talked about that.
Oh, so. Did you really?
Yes, we did.
You're already on the game. Okay. Well, Jessica Cagle is the operations manager at Brookdale Farms, Twin Rivers Canoe Rental, but it's so much more than that. Kayaks, rafts, tubes, they got you all, and it's so close to St. Louis. So go to BrookdaleFarmsInc.com and get it booked today because they are filling up. Jess, thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Absolutely. It was great talking to you.
Good stuff. Always a great time. She's a smart lady. She's put up with me at my Big Dogs Poker Bash every year for several years, and just a great location. If you've never been out to Brookdale Farms, highly suggested, especially during these hot summer days. Well, that's going to wrap it up for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thanks to the Jesse Show. That's what we're going to call it, because we had Jesse from Razorback, Jesse from Brookdale. I'm Bo. Mark will be back next week with the show, and for Carl Middleman, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox is on vacation. Our executive producer, Carl Middleman, is at the helm.
Pew, pew!
Producing this entire program. And I do want to thank Jesse at Razorback Armory for being my co-host for part of this show. And I, you know, we could call this show Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with Jesse, because we got another Jesse we're going to talk to right now about float trips. And the closest float trip to St. Louis is just a few miles away. We welcome operations manager Jessica Cagle from Brookdale Farms and Twin Rivers Canoe Rental. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. How are you, Jess?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How is floating season going so far?
It's great. The weather has been amazing.
It has. And you know what? That brings up a good point. Is the water moving good? Is there plenty of water in the river to, you know, move you down, or are you paddling a lot?
The water is moving a little slow, but I mean, that just makes for a little bit longer of a day and enjoy the sun a little bit longer.
I think the cool thing about it is you're right there in Eureka. So Brookdale Farms is where people will go to start this process. Of course, they can go to BrookdaleFarmsInc.com to get all the information that we're going to talk about. But you guys offer many water craft. But if somebody wants to bring their own watercraft, because you see Subarus running down the highway with a kayak or whatever, can they bring their own out to your place?
Monday through Friday, we offer transports for other people's vessels,
okay.
But it's $20 per person. And then we need a reservation. We need it to know ahead of time.
What I love about it is you don't have to travel 3 hours away, because the first float I went on many years ago, horrible experience. The weather was terrible. It was the 11 point. I don't know if you've ever floated on the 11 point river.
I have not.
It is rough. And the water was really low. And it was so hot. And it was one of these 2 day floats where you had to camp midway through the float. So you had to bring all your gear. And I saw, you know, some flipping over and losing all their gear and their tents and their coolers. It was horrible. But what I love about what you guys are doing is you're really close to St. Louis. You want to go for an afternoon float or an evening, you know, whatever times you do it. It's just convenient, because if you wake up and go, it's going to be too hot today, you don't go. But maybe tomorrow's going to be better, right?
Right, absolutely.
And
we're flexible. If something happens and it's raining, we can always switch to another day. As long as you give us notice, if something happens with, like emergency or anything.
Plans change. And that's what's wonderful about not having to go 3 or 4 hours away to do this. But let's talk about, because the Twin Rivers Canoe Rental has, you know, been going on for a few years now, and year over year, you said last time we chatted that businesses and people are discovering you guys.
Yes, they are. And actually, we have a lot of different things on the farm that we do. We do weddings and events, and we do carriage rides, we do corn maze, sunflower maze, and we have people that come and they're like, I had no idea that you do float trips. So we're like, it's always, you know, always something.
And if you're two people that want to go, one person wants to go, or you got a group of 50 you want to go, you guys can pretty much accommodate that. What's really nice is at BrookdaleFarmsInc.com, they have the pricing and all that stuff, and the different Yeah, and the different vehicles or watercraft, I should say. You have rafts that people can rent, or you have canoes.
Yep, we have 6-man rafts, 8-man rafts. We have inner tubes. The inner tubes are really cool. They are closed on the bottom. They have a little backrest, a little cup holder. So that's always my favorite. you know, and then we have a cooler raft that will hold your cooler. And you can just tie that onto your inner tube and just float down the river and enjoy yourself. So have a canoe and kayak. The kayaks are single.
I was going to ask, because the float trip that I went on many years ago, we had coolers, as I mentioned. What are some of the rules for people that are going to be floating? No glass, probably, right? What else are the rules?
Absolutely. No glass, no styrofoam. Of course, you want to respect the environment and take your trash with you.
Okay. So, yeah, and you can bring, you know, a meal, have a lunch on a sandbar or something.
Absolutely. We recommend that. You always want to have stuff to drink, water. You want to stay hydrated. People think, oh, we're on the water. No, you need to drink it, too.
Yeah, right. Maybe but, alternate.
You want to for sure have stuff to eat, especially when it's, you know, when it's this hot.
I'm telling you, I think more and more people are learning that that float trips are happening so close to St. Louis. You can sleep in your own bed at night, which is awesome. But you have two different lengths of floats that you do. You do the 9-mile, which that's going to be a long afternoon or whatever.
So the 9-mile is for the canoes and the kayaks. The canoes and the kayaks travel faster than the tubes and the rafts. So they go on the 9-mile. Still, it just takes up, like, if you were to get on there and not stop and just go straight through, it'd take about three and a half hours.
Okay.
Of course, you want to stay, you want to stop, and you want to hang out on the gravel bars, enjoy lunch, enjoy swimming. So, I mean, you can make a day of it. We just ask you're back by 7 p.m.
Okay.
Then the inner tubes and the raft, same thing. It's a 4-mile, and then it takes about three and a half hours to float through nonstop.
Well, on the website, it's all spelled out for you. They have Monday through Friday. Here's the times that you can go on a float out at Twin Rivers Canoe Area rental at Brookdale Farms. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and noon. What a wonderful way to spend a weekday. Take a sick day or work remotely if you want to from the canoe or raft. That would be a good idea.
For the raft, it's 9, 10, 11, 12, and 1. And then on the canoes and kayaks is 9, 10:30, and 12.
Oh, okay. Okay. And the cool thing is you can do your online booking right there. And but if you want to call and, you know, maybe you've got special instructions or something like that, you can just call out to Brookdale and they'll accommodate you. You'll either talk to Jess or Danielle or somebody, 636-938-1005. And are you booking up, like, you know, we got 4th of July coming up around the corner. Are things booking up pretty good?
They are. Last weekend was booked solid. And 4th of July weekend is booking up. This weekend's getting pretty full. So we've had people calling about 4th of July also.
That's fantastic. Well, it's so cool because it's so close. And again, you can sleep in your own bed that night after a day in the sun and fun. Now, another thing that I wanted to bring up before we finish the show and finish this call is that I found out through Fire Chief Greg Brown that you are a metal detector person.
Absolutely.
And you found some pretty cool stuff. I bought a metal detector about a year and a half ago. I've used it on my property with no, like, surprise, no discovery of treasure. But then something else happened. You learned about magnet fishing. Now, we have talked about magnet fishing in the recent past on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Magnet fishing is where you take this extremely strong magnet on a rope, and a lot of people go to a bridge, maybe out in a rural county area over a river, and drop that magnet down into the water and see what people have either thrown off over the edge of the bridge, or maybe it fell off or something. That, my friends, is magnet fishing, and they do have kits you can buy on Amazon. I mentioned it once to Greg Brown, and within a couple of days, he had his magnet fishing kit. So you're intrigued, right?
Yeah, Greg introduced me to that. I said, wow, this is cool.
I haven't found
anything cool yet, but what a blast.
You know, before I made this phone call to talk to you, I was thinking, gosh, I wonder if we could do that from a canoe.
I would think you probably could.
That's awesome.
We actually talked about that.
Oh, so. Did you really?
Yes, we did.
You're already on the game. Okay. Well, Jessica Cagle is the operations manager at Brookdale Farms, Twin Rivers Canoe Rental, but it's so much more than that. Kayaks, rafts, tubes, they got you all, and it's so close to St. Louis. So go to BrookdaleFarmsInc.com and get it booked today because they are filling up. Jess, thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Absolutely. It was great talking to you.
Good stuff. Always a great time. She's a smart lady. She's put up with me at my Big Dogs Poker Bash every year for several years, and just a great location. If you've never been out to Brookdale Farms, highly suggested, especially during these hot summer days. Well, that's going to wrap it up for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thanks to the Jesse Show. That's what we're going to call it, because we had Jesse from Razorback, Jesse from Brookdale. I'm Bo. Mark will be back next week with the show, and for Carl Middleman, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.